It's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a Wisdom Wednesday presented by Patreon.com/RT Media. That could be a pretty cool holiday gift for somebody as well. Make them a patron, but make sure it's the $10 level so they are part of our Tuckheads private Slack channel, which is on fire, way better than Tuckheads ever was. I love it. Patreon.com/RT Media. Join the revolution of people with the disease, with the sickness that love breaking down all these NFL topics. We will have a new Spread the Word winner in a couple days. We'll have a new sponsor confirmation email winner in a couple days. It's a Wednesday, which means we will also have the great Andrew Brandt. It's Big Show time.
The Big Show.
He is the host of the Business of Sports podcast that I know a lot of you really enjoy and listen to, the great Andrew Brandt, at Andrew Brandt on Twitter, the former Packers executive. I want to start, Andrew, with a story that almost went a little under the radar, and that was the Josh Shaw suspension. The cornerback who's on IR for the Cardinals, who was caught gambling and suspended through the 2020 season. What were you thinking when you heard this story?
Yeah, good day, Ross. I mean, this is one right up my alley where, as you said, it kind of went under the radar mainstream, but I thought it was something like, wow, I'm going to dive into this. And it's funny, you just mentioned my Business of Sports podcast. I want to dive deep on this one, maybe with a guest, maybe just Brant's rants. Because here's the thing, Ross, there's no area of misbehavior that has undergone more of a transformation in the law relating to sports than gambling. Okay, so what I'm saying is gambling has historically been taboo for all sports, going back to Pete Rose, going back to NFL players like Alex Karras, Paul Hornung, Art Schleister. But all of a sudden, we have an embrace of gambling on a national scale due to the Supreme Court decision we talked about back in May of 2018. So what does that mean? Well, it means there's 10 states now with legalized sports betting. Does that mean players can bet on sports? No, no. It's like marijuana. Everyone asks me, well, can players in Colorado and Washington and California light up? No, they can't. And can athletes in states that have legalized gambling gamble? No. So we have NFL law, which is greater than state law when it comes to the players. So now we have our first test case. We have a player who's obviously not well known and on injured reserve making bets, and I assume the NFL has a lot of evidence about this. So here we go. I think that the NFL does, and better, have a lot of evidence of him placing bets. There's a report this morning that he placed bets against the Arizona Cardinals, his team, who he's not really part of, being on IR. So these are all things that go on. I think the point is, despite a team in Vegas coming, despite a lot of embrace of gambling in terms of lines, in terms of deals with FanDuel and DraftKings and Sport Radar and Caesar's Palace, it's still taboo for the players. Now, I, along with people listening, can see that as a bit of hypocritical. But that's the fact. And I would imagine with Vegas coming online, there are going to be a lot more test cases to deal with. And I go back to what I've said in the past. I think the NFL needs a gambling czar, a CGO, like a CMO, CEO, a chief gambling officer. Because to me, this is the tip of the iceberg. There are going to be a lot more of these cases.
It's really interesting on a bunch of different levels. On the one hand, I almost wonder if the NFL was tempted somehow, Andrew, to not make a big deal out of this and say to Shaw, hey, you can't do that, because they wouldn't want all of the negative attention of an active NFL player, even though he's on IR, betting on one of their games. They went the other way. They used Shaw as an example that they could make a big example of to all the other players. But I wonder if part of their strategy was to not even really let it see the light of day that he had done this.
Yeah, it's really interesting because so many of the misbehavior cases on the conduct side, Ross, have been the biggest names in the sport. Phil Elliott, Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, Tom Brady. But here we get to this area that you correctly point out, maybe they don't want this to be a big issue. And like you said, I believe it was a Friday afternoon or the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, whatever it was, a news dump about a player that no one really had heard of. So I think they're going the other way on this because, listen, everything about sports, and I teach this in law school, is about integrity of the game. You got to feel like you're going to invest in a product that's clean, that has integrity, that's above board, that you can trust. And that's why they're so into this. And as I said, you can make strong arguments that this is all mixed signals, mixed messages, doesn't make sense because the NFL promotes gambling in many ways, but not the players. And that's where they draw the line. Is that fair? Maybe not, but it's the rule, just like marijuana. Societal tolerance changes, but the NFL law hasn't changed.
It's going to be very interesting to see, you know, what ends up happening. But through 2020, I mean, that's a harsher punishment, Andrew, than anybody gets for anything in the NFL.
Yeah, and you do wonder if there are going to be appeal options for him, just like we see Myles Garrett appeal. We see all these players appeal about behavior on and off the field. You wonder if he's going to appeal this and maybe implicate other players or other situations. Maybe it's something the NFL would rather not keep exposing to the public.
Yeah, I find it fascinating. I'm also kind of fascinated, Andrew, by the Nick Foles situation going on with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, you know, he's now been benched for performance on the field. The problem is, Andrew, he's got a lot of money coming to him. I mean, he's got $25 million signing bonus that was prorated. He's got the base salary is fully guaranteed at signing for next year. He even has $5 million of his 2021 salary, which will be guaranteed by the third day of the 2020 league year. And you can't do the post-June 1st thing. I don't even know if you can have dead money with the last year of the CBA being 2020. Like, what are the Jags going to do?
Well, I think you point out the basic fact is that they're admitting a major mistake. We all get excited about free agency. I say it every year. And it never really turns out. I know there are cases every year. Believe me, I'm a Packers guy. They signed the two Smiths. It's working out really well. But sometimes it's just a false front with free agency where teams do not improve. And the player they think they're getting is not the one they are getting. And these massive amounts of guaranteed money, at least relative to NFL contracts. So the Jaguars, I mean, the story is the Jaguars are benching a player they gave $50 million guaranteed. And he may, you know, maybe the biggest contract in 2019 free agency. That's a story. And that has to go on the general manager, on management. And I think you and I know, Ross, As popular as Foles was in Philadelphia, he didn't have any market beyond the Jaguars. So again, I'm a contract negotiator. I looked at that and I say, well, who are the Jaguars bidding against? And I can't figure it out for the life of me. The other part of this obviously is Philly. You and I are around Philly. I was at the game last week as you were, against the Seahawks. There is a statue of Nick Foles and the Philly play. There's a statue of him. And now he's on another team and benched.
And I know, Andrew, that it doesn't happen a lot when you were in Green Bay. But I see, like, the Carolina Panthers losing to the Washington Redskins, or even the Eagles losing to the Miami Dolphins. And I think, to quote you, oh, man, that's not good. That's going to be changed. Because it just seems like the losses at the end of the year count for more. And when you lose to teams you should not lose to, that more than anything else, I feel like, you know, is what ends up leading to change. Like I said, I know you didn't go through many coaching changes in Green Bay, but you've been around it, you've seen it. Do you agree that the late season games almost matter more? And when you lose to teams like the Panthers, especially losing to the Redskins, that's a major problem.
Yeah, it really is the taste you said about the end of the season and when losses and wins happen that are sort of major surprises. Because look how we feel about the Miami Dolphins right now. Oh, they got a good young coach. They're getting it together. They're really playing hard. And 8 weeks ago, they're tanking. They're definitely number one pick. There are people saying that they're doing a disservice to the players. They should take the franchise away. You know, these are the kind of things that go back and forth. And a week ago, oh, the Jets, they're coming on. Look out for the Jets. And, of course, they lose to the Bengals. So it's almost not, like you said, it's not who you lose to, but when you lose to them. You know, I've had friends come up to me, and I'm so tunnel vision about football, as you are, and they say, the league's really different now. Football's really different. I'm like, what do you mean? It's like, it's two tiers. It's like good teams and then they're bad teams. And there's really not a middle. And I kind of, you know, have to stop and think, well, yeah, I mean, this year is one of those, like, European soccer relegation years. It's like good teams and then kind of a morass, especially in the NFC. So, I don't know what the answer is, but yes, you know, when we talk about Black Monday, I mean, there's going to be a lot of change this year.
I don't know if you ever experienced this. These are a couple of good teams, a little different question, but both the Patriots and Seahawks had major issues with the flu bug this past week, including the Patriots. I've never heard of this. They flew two planes to Texas for the Texans game, a sick plane and a healthy plane. Wow, Andrew, you ever had to deal with anything like this when you were in Green Bay?
No, 10 years in Green Bay, 10 years representing players, never heard of anything like this. I've talked to you before about that scary MRSA when we had players with that. They were quarantined in different spaces that we had, but nothing like that. And I mean, you gotta feel really weird getting on that sick plane, right? Even if you're really sick or you're just partly sick, either way, you're like, Jesus, you know, we're like in the colony over here. I never have heard of that, and it did shock me.
And then the last one is, it's this time of year. I'm seeing a bunch of guys going on IR and a bunch of guys getting contract extensions.
Yeah, I mean, I think the IR thing we talked about before, when it's no, the league's really not going to check too hard when it's this part of the year in terms of major, minor injury. They understand what's going on. The contracts are interesting because, you know, the usual suspects, the Philadelphia Eagles, very active about re-signing core players this time of year. We were in Green Bay, certain teams. And the Eagles have re-signed Lane Johnson and the kicker, Elliott. You know, it's interesting that some teams go there. But I commend it because you know they're going to be part of your team and use existing cap room to do it. I don't understand why more teams don't do it. But again, with the bifurcation of the league this year we talked about, it's probably not a good message to send if you're one of those bad teams to start re-signing your core players, really. I mean, in those situations, you might just want to chill.
Andrew, always appreciate the time. Really looking forward to your deep dive on the gambling stuff on the Business of Sports podcast. Thanks so much.
You got it, Ross.
Andrew always has it all figured out. which reminds me of my guys over at Zorro.com, where their number one goal, kind of like Andrew, when it comes to sports business topics, is to make your life easier, to break it down and make it simpler. If you purchase supplies for a business, you know it's nearly impossible to find everything you need in one place. That's where Zorro.com comes in. You'll find everything you need for businesses of any size and almost any industry. Zorro.com has tools and equipment, safety and office supplies, cleaning supplies, tons of stuff for electrical, plumbing, contracting, manufacturing, brands you know and trust, Stanley, 3M, Milwaukee, Schneider, Rubbermaid, and they have amazing customer service from real people based in the U.S. Visit www.zorro.com/Tucker to sign up for Zmail and get 15% off your order. That's zorro.com/Tucker. Sign up for Zmail and get 15% off your first order. Tuck
Steaks. Well, Ross, let's start with the Carolina Panthers. Owner David Tepper fires Ron Rivera, and he's going to hire a VP of operations and an assistant general manager.
Yeah, and just to peel back the curtain a little bit here, Bri, I think people probably figured this out by now. We're posting it right after midnight Wednesday morning. We talked with Andrew Brandt a little bit earlier in the day, right before Ron Rivera got fired, unfortunately. Although, you know, our conversation about how you perform at the end of the year, what I had said on the Power Rankings Tuesday, even on Monday, came to fruition. I think that we all knew this was going to happen. I have no problem with the move by David Tepper. He's a new owner. He wants to bring in his own people. I do think it's interesting that it sounds like he's going to keep Marty Herney as the general manager and just bring in people to support him, like a VP of ops and an assistant GM. I'm not sure Marty Herney deserves that, and I'm a little surprised that David Tepper is seemingly going to go that route. But we'll see, right? Because that would somewhat limit the head coaching candidates. So we'll have to find out how all of that sorts itself out with the Panthers organization. Ron Rivera is an excellent football coach. He's an even better person. Anybody that's ever met him, I've met him several times, will tell you that. He's an outstanding human being. I would be surprised if he's not hired by somebody as a head coach in 2020 in the NFL, if that's what he wants. And I don't know how much longer he had on his contract, but part of me wonders if maybe the Panthers could have tried to trade him. I really think Ron Rivera is that good of a coach and that good of a person and would be sought after like that. But I told you guys, Monday show, Tuesday show, Andrew and I talked about it. You lose like that to the Redskins at home, there will be changes. I'll give kudos to Tepper for doing it now as opposed to delaying the inevitable. I know what people say, you know, he deserved better, blah, blah, blah. I don't agree with that. I think once you know a change is going to be made, I think you're actually doing the right thing by the guy by moving on from him then. Ron Rivera, everybody now knows he's available for any other positions. He gets the next month off, still paid. He doesn't have the walking around the building, knowing he's going to get fired and having to act like he might not. And the Panthers don't have to go behind his back to start looking at candidates. For all of those reasons, I think this is the right move by the Panthers to do it now.
Let's talk contract extensions. We'll start with the Miami Dolphins. They give cornerback Eric Rowe an extension. The Eagles did the same last Friday with Lane Johnson, and the Ravens with Patrick Ricard.
Right. Ricard, obviously a unique player, plays fullback and defensive line. I actually think there's probably more guys that could do that if the teams allocated it that way and really tried to do it that way. I think there are. I think more guys could do it. I know the Patriots use a Landon Roberts a little bit. He's a linebacker who's a hard hitter to some level of success. But Andrew and I talked about this as well. You know, it's that time of year where certain teams say, you know what, this is a guy we want around for a while. Let's get him locked up now while we can. for some of these players, you could argue, why would they do it now? Now, Lane Johnson wasn't going in the last year of his deal, so I know why he did it now. I'm not sure about Rowe and Ricard. You could argue those guys could have just played out four more games, although for Ricard, it's probably going to be four more games for the Ravens.
Ducks takes. Let's move over to some of the guys who are done for the season, being put on IR. Broncos D lineman Derek Wolf, Lions rookie tight end TJ Hockenson, and the Jets linebacker CJ Mosley.
Right. Obviously, you go on IR at this point, you're done for the year. There's no coming back at this point, return designated for return or whatever. Mosley barely played all year for the Jets. What an epic disaster, especially them bringing him back before he clearly was not ready. When they brought him back, I think it was against the Patriots, had a setback, and then doesn't play again the rest of the year. Let's be honest, that's a very Jets move. That's a typical Jets move. Hockenson felt like he was kind of beat up all year, and Derek Wolfe had a really nice year before dislocating his elbow. That's not considered a serious injury. He will have a decent amount of suitors in free agency.
Ducks takes. Pittsburgh Steelers are going to go with Devlin Duck Hodges again this Sunday, starting for the Steelers. Your thoughts?
I don't think that was much of a surprise. I mean, I think at this point, most people probably anticipated that Duck Hodges would start again. They won the game at home. He's played better, it seems like, than Mason Rudolph, or at least the team has performed better with him than they have with Mason Rudolph. So not much of a surprise there to me. I think this is the right move, and I think it's almost weird, or we'll get to the point where, you know, Tomlin doesn't have to say this every week anymore.
Ducks takes. A couple of other notes include the Bengals wide receiver John Ross activated off of IR, and the Titans claimed veteran DB Tremaine Brock after he was released by the Arizona Cardinals.
So that works out pretty well for Tremaine Brock. He gets cut by the Cardinals. He goes to a better team in the Titans that have a great chance to make the playoffs, and they have no state income tax. So that was a major win for Tremaine Brock. As for John Ross, it's just another example, Bri, that the Bengals are trying to win. And not only are they trying to win, they are trying to see what they have in John Ross these last four games so that they can make some off-season decisions based on how he performs. So I hope John Ross knows these are four very, very important games for him. Before we wrap up this Wednesday edition of the RTFP, it is important to note that it's the holiday buying season. What you need to do and what you need to know about is ATG by Wrangler. It's a new outdoor line, doesn't compromise, conform, or call it quits, with functional details and fabrics that stand up to the elements. ATG by Wrangler. It's the best of both worlds. All the things you love from Wrangler, now with high-performance fabrics and cool details made for the outdoors. Durable fabric that stretches for comfort, as well as a comfort flex waistband, which is key this time of year during the holidays. Visit Wrangler.com/Ross to check out all the ATG by Wrangler styles. Wrangler, wear with abandon. Again, that's wrangler.com/Ross. This gear is awesome. It's especially awesome if you like to hiking, fishing, camps, any outdoor activity, hunting, whatever you're into. This stuff is awesome. My brother-in-law loves it. Highly encourage you to check it out. That'll do it, by the way, for a Wisdom Wednesday edition of the mighty RTFP. Shout out to the White Label Group, as always. Also, shout out to all of you that are smart enough to listen to Joe Dolan on both episodes of the Fantasy Feast podcast, because he just drops knowledge bombs on the regular, as well as Steve Fezzik, my guy, Even Money Podcast. Highly encourage you to listen to that one as well. If you're into sports betting, really both the Even Money and Fantasy Feast, even if you're not into betting or fantasy football, it really is just a different, interesting breakdown and analysis of the games themselves, which you obviously are into. Other than that, yeah, I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Make sure to also subscribe to the Fantasy Feast, Even Money, Business of Sports, and College Draft. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.